3 months after the most recent war in Gaza, reconstruction of destroyed homes and businesses there has hardly started. Part of the problem is a lack of clear government authority on the ground. Last spring, the two main Palestinian political groups, Fatah and Hamas, agreed to back a single government. The decision formally ended a bitter divide that began 7 years ago when violence between the factions killed hundreds of Palestinians. Wounds from that conflict are still raw. NPR's Emily Harris has the story of one Fatah family in Gaza.
Back in 2007, Hamas and Fatah were locked in street battles against each other in the Gaza Strip. Baha Abu Jarad was a local leader in Fatah's armed brigades. His wife, Jamalat, remembers when Hamas attacked their home.
When the attack started, Baha was sleeping here on this couch. There was an explosion in the house, and we immediately understood we were being targeted.
The firefight lasted 6 hours, she said, damaging walls and setting curtains on fire. She was shooting a Kalashnikov out the windows, along with her husband and many of his brothers, including Ala Abu Jarad.
At one point, a delegation of other militants came and said Hamas doesn't want the family and doesn't want to scare the kids. They just wanted Baha in person to turn himself in.
The family refused. Baha Abu Jarad survived that night, but was assassinated in a later attack. His wife, Jamalat, was 30 with 4 children.
He had never been home that much since he was always working with the Palestinian resistance. But after he was killed, we felt empty and broken. The community expected us to take revenge. My children believed in this too.
Her youngest, Saraj Abu Jarad, is now 10 years old. The girl says she refused to stand up at school recently when a classmate's father visited.
He is a Hamas man, and they killed my father when I was young. I was the only one who refused to stand.
Anti-Hamas sentiment runs so deep in this pro-Fatah family that one woman won't go to shops owned by Hamas supporters. Arrangements for a marriage, the family said, ended when the would-be groom spotted signs of Hamas in the would-be bride's home. This doesn't surprise Maher El-Holi, a Hamas member and a teacher of religious law at the Islamic University of Gaza.
Say there are two neighbors, one Hamas and one Fatah, who both lost sons in the split. They won't like each other, even if neither had anything to do with killing the other's son. This is wrong. Hatred over political loyalty is a deformed culture.
El-Holi sits on a joint Fatah-Hamas committee that's supposed to compensate families who lost loved ones during the 2007 fighting. But he says the leadership dispute has paralyzed the work, and he worries people could get angry again.
No one has taken revenge yet because they are waiting to see what the political parties in the joint government will do. There has also been good security in Gaza under Hamas. The danger is that this could start to weaken.
Police in Gaza haven't been paid for months. This week, hospital cleaners went on strike because they haven't been paid either. In the general population, frustration is high over the slow pace of rebuilding. After waiting several hours in line this week to buy one bag of cement, Rabia Garmout blamed the lack of Palestinian leadership.
It's because of the internal dispute between the two parties. Donors are putting money in the bank, but it's just not getting here because of the split.
International aid officials say that has been a factor, holding up promised money. But despite long-held grudges, many Gazans say they want real political reunification. Dr. Salem El-Hessi is a Fatah supporter, but says Hamas did a decent job governing.
Most of people want to finish the split between Fatah and Hamas because we are suffering too much. The leaders, I think they are the problem.
His Fatah uncle was killed during the violence 7 years ago. The family accepted $36,000 from Hamas as compensation, then returned the cash in a public ceremony. El-Hessi says that was a gesture of mutual respect that Palestinian leaders would do well to follow. Emily Harris, NPR News.